And Father, we pray now to your word and from the gospel today. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Good morning, everyone. Merry Christmas. Am I correct in saying it's seven swans of swimming? Seven swans, that's easy to say. The seventh day of Christmas. So make sure you get out your swans, and seven of them. Don't shirk on those. You know, Christmas is an invasion. Christmas is an invasion. You think about it, sometime after Halloween, maybe even before, perhaps, all this tinsel and wrapping and paper, you know, things, Christmas trees and lights and gifts and especially ads and, you know, sales and all this stuff invade our life with this whirlwind of activity that just kind of keeps building and building and building until, bang, Christmas Eve comes and Christmas morning and then the world is done. All the merchandisers retreat to count their money.
Well, Valentine's Day.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And they kind of let us have our, you know, New Year's, you know, just whatever they want to. So that's one type of invasion, you know. There are other types of invasions as well, too. You know, there are bad invasions, too. Things like, you know, the war in Gaza and Israel having to invade Gaza because Hamas attacked them. We think of Russia invading Ukraine. You know, these are, you know, different invasions and somewhat very different from each other, as a matter of fact, too. But in both of those cases, soldiers with guns and other weapons march into the territory of someone else, taking it by force of arms. Because that's really what an invasion is, you see. And then in the mountains here, we have a different kind of invasion that happens every year where tourists with RVs and family cars and credit cards march into Western North Carolina and take it by force of money. Bad driving. Yeah, that's good. But God becoming man was an invasion into our reality. Now we can go into all kinds of semantics and say that we were being occupied. We were under occupation from an enemy force. But God becoming man was an invasion, a forceful entry into our history. And that's why John writes, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Light invading dark. That's what it is. Christmas is an invasion. That scripture, John 1, chapter 1, verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. If you want to follow in your Bibles, we're going to look at that for a couple of minutes here. It's an interesting scripture. And, you know, when you do Bible study, you want to look at lots of different translations of the scripture that you're picking. And when the translations don't agree on a word or a scripture or something, it's worth kind of looking into it a little bit more. And this is one of those passages where translations don't really agree. And this is an important passage. This is what's called the prologue of the Gospel of St. John. Very important passage. But there's a disagreement about this one word, overcome. It's translated in several different ways. And, you know, that word works. It's okay. You know, overcome, you know, couldn't overcome the light. NIV says that the darkness has not overcome it. The King James Version says the darkness could not comprehend it. And that's different, isn't it? The NASB 20, which is, you know, popular since 2020, says that the darkness could not grasp it. And then the Young's Literal Translation, because it's literal, you know, says the darkness could not perceive it. And you can go on and on. And there are variations that occur in many different translations. And finally, in this one, in the Amplified Bible, which is just great, it says the light shines on in the darkness, and the darkness did not understand it or overpower it or appropriate it or absorb it. and is unreceptive to it, too. I think they kind of catch it all there, don't they? I think they went through and looked at all the different translations of that word and said, oh, put them all in there. Which, you know, maybe not wrong. So that Greek word that we're talking about is a word called katalambo. I think I'm saying it right. Katalambo. And it's used in Scripture in many different ways. You know, in the Greek parts of the Scripture, in the Septuagint, you know, there are dozens of ways that it's translated. It's one of those difficult words, and it can cause this confusion here that we're talking about. It does come, and I'm no Greek scholar, okay, understand, but it comes from a root word called lambano, lambanos, which means what?
I was agreeing.
You don't know, okay.
You're right.
That's the thing about being the preacher. You get to look this stuff up ahead of time. So the root word lambano means to take. Okay. So if we think about that, then we can say this, and maybe I'm coming up with my own translation here, which is a dangerous thing. But this translation says the darkness could not take the light. I kind of like that. Yeah, that kind of works for me because, you know, it makes some sense because the whole idea, you know, Satan always wants to take. He wants to take it away. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He's a thief and a robber, so of course he'd want to take the light. But in this case, he is utterly helpless to take it, let alone even understand it. So all of those translations work. Let's look at a couple of the meaning of a couple of other words in that passage right there. John writes, the light shines in the darkness. Well, what is the light? Well, John explains it right there himself. He says, in him was life, life. And that life was the light of all mankind. His life, Jesus, the light. Jesus is the light. Now, what's the darkness? Any idea? What's the darkness? Sin, I heard that word. All right, yes. And the world is in darkness. All the people, all of us are in darkness or were. We'll get to that in a minute. And were ever since Adam and Eve got pushed out of Eden. This world is the darkness, okay? And all through those times of Noah and Abraham and Moses and, you know, the judges and David and the nation of Israel and all the kings, the Maccabees, and all the way through the rise of Rome is darkness. There were hints of the light here and there. There were hints, but all is in darkness. And then in this one incredible moment in history, occurring for the first time ever, something absolutely new and amazing occurred. God pushed his way into the darkness. God himself entered at exactly the right time or at the perfect time, as Galatians says. Someone say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
John describes what happened then. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not overcome it. The darkness couldn't stop the invasion. The darkness couldn't repel the invader. In fact, the darkness couldn't even understand the attack. A baby? What? And so now, the light is in the world. And this light is life. True life. And a way out of the darkness. Now, you know, because you're children of the light, that you carry the light, don't you? But the world is still in darkness. So that part hasn't changed yet. I mean, just read the news. Israel and Gaza, right? Ukraine. Just like in the times of Pharaoh and Saul and Moses, darkness still out there. But now, very different from back then. You carry the light around with you, on you, and in you. You are the bearers of light now. Now understand, we're not the light. We just carry the light, okay? And that's kind of gone into by a lot of different theologians over the years. One early Christian writer said, human nature in the Garden of Eden, this is before the fall, okay, even though it didn't sin at that time, of course, could not shine on its own strength. Human nature could not shine by itself. For it is not naturally light, but only a recipient of light. Similarly, he says that it, you know, it's capable of containing wisdom, you understand, but is not wisdom itself. C.S. Lewis says that we're like statues, incredibly detailed likenesses of God, but we're not God. We are facsimiles of God. I'm just a fax, you know, come off the machine and pours out on the paper, you know. Right, you know, remember all that? I'm just a fax. But because of the light, because of the invasion of the light into darkness, because of Christmas, we have become children of God. We can actually carry the light. We can shine the light. And so because of this invasion of the darkness, his forceful entrance into the world, statues are coming to life. Those statues are coming to life. The facsimiles are getting up and walking around. And they're shining the light and telling other faxes and other statues about the light. And the light spreads and has been ever since that moment. The Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ, Jesus is his name. He's also called the Word of God. 2,000 years ago, he punched through the darkness, bringing light and life. And you know, we ask ourselves, why is this scripture, John chapter 1, often called the prologue of John, like I said, here at Christmas? It's not about shepherds and mangers and babies, is it? But it is the essence of Christmas. It is. It explains it all. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. See, the Word became one of us. The light became one of us. God pushed forcefully into the world. He invaded the darkness, fully dressed in his invasion gear, swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And new life began, not just for baby Jesus, but for all of us. So to continue that warfare language, since I've already done that, the invasion resulted in liberation. I don't know if you've ever seen the old newsreels, you know, of World War II, obviously I'm interested in, the liberation of Paris, the liberation of Rome, and hundreds of other cities throughout Europe. And you see these joyful people waving flags, Maria, carrying flowers, kissing Allied soldiers as they march by. They're so happy to be free of the tyranny of Nazi Germany. And they're showing their thanks and gratitude and love for what the liberators did for them. Sounds a little like a worship service, doesn't it? And that's the way our worship services should be. We're welcoming the liberator. We were liberated from darkness. We are not in the darkness anymore, but we have to carry it out into it. We can walk in the light that is life. The enemy can't take it away from us. He can't even see the light or understand it. Now we carry it so others can see it too. Our memories of Christmas, you know, they always carry lots of smells with them. You know, hopefully they're pleasant smells. I mean, you think about cookies baking, you know, and the scent of evergreens, right? Maybe the smell of new wrapping paper when you open it. That stuff you got us this one really smelled. No, I'm just kidding. It didn't smell bad, but I can tell it had a smell. The scent of adhesive tape, you know, the cold winter air laced with ice or snowflakes, fresh bread, or in the church, incense. I like what one radio personality said. He said, Jesus has a fragrance, like a fine cologne or perfume. His essence is on us. And when we meet people, And after we leave them, they should be left with the pleasant fragrance of Jesus still lingering about them. That's what it is to carry the light, you see. No, you aren't the light of the world, but you have the high honor of carrying the light, his fragrance, into the world. Jesus invaded the darkness, and the light has been growing ever since. It just keeps growing and growing and growing and growing. I know it doesn't always seem like that to you, but it is. And one day there will be so much light, there'll be no need for the sun or the moon. If you remember Revelation, the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of the God gives it light. And the lamb is its lamp. Hallelujah. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Merry Christmas. Amen.
Thank you.